97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL and UNC School of Media and Journalism present Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. Sports Focus is dedicated to in-depth examination of issues of overriding importance in the sports world. Each week, we'll discuss problems and look for solutions in professional, collegiate, and amateur sports. From Carroll Hall on the Carolina campus, here's your host, journalism professor Charlie Tuggle.
Welcome to Sports Focus. Our topic today, the relative lack of women in leadership positions in college athletics. Our guest, Elizabeth Lizzie Taylor, graduate teaching assistant at the University of Tennessee in Knoxville. And Lizzie, you had a big presentation at the College Sport Research Institute conference not too long ago. Why in 2016 are there still very few women in leadership positions in college athletics?
Yeah, this is a really great question because we've seen such an increase in the number of female athletes from the grassroots level to the professional level, but we still see such a lack of female coaches and female athletic administrators. And if you look pre-Title IX, the majority of women's athletic departments were run by women, and the majority of women's teams were coached by women, so it's a kind of a complicated question. If you look post-Title IX, so looking back before Title IX, there wasn't a lot of funding for women's athletic teams and the women's athletic department as a whole, so the coaching positions weren't very sought after. And after we saw Title IX pass, they started to get more funding, so these jobs became more attractive. And male coaches really saw it as a way to get into coaching. So there's this idea that it's easier to get your foot in the door coaching a women's team than it is to coach a men's team. So that's often one of the reasons why you'll see more male coaches in women's sports. There's a lot of other reasons, too. So there's an idea that women aren't as qualified to coach sports, so women should do more feminine jobs like nursing or teaching, and they shouldn't get involved in sports. We also see what they call hiring from a principle of similarity, so we want to hire people and work with people who look like us. So if an athletic director is a white male, he's going to be more likely to hire a coach that's a white male. And that's one of the reasons pre-Title IX we saw so many female coaches is because the majority of athletic directors in women's departments were women. We also see a lot with homophobia, so in terms of negative recruiting or not wanting to hire an openly gay or lesbian female coach because what will that do for the image of your university? And there's also a huge lack of female mentors. So young women who graduate and have played sports their whole lives, if they want to get into coaching, they're not really sure who to turn to, who they can look to for advice. And when women get into coaching positions, they often decide to leave early. So coaching for both men and women is really time-consuming, and a lot of the women that I've talked to, and men say this too, they describe it as a lifestyle. So it's not just a job, it's a lifestyle. So they often experience burnout. Some women have to choose between having a family and having a career. So there's a lot of different reasons why we still see this relatively small number or percentage of females coaching.
All right, so whole lot to unpack there. And we'll do that during the next couple of segments. Let me ask you about, you would think that as there are more and more women playing sports, there would be more and more women coaching sports, but we're actually seeing the opposite, and that seems really strange to me.
Yeah, so it's very counterintuitive because, like you said, as we see this huge increase in the number of female college athletes and girls and women who are participating in sport at every level, you think that that would translate into more coaches that are women. However, the NCAA did a study not too long ago, and they asked female athletes if they would want to pursue coaching positions within college athletic departments, and a lot of the female athletes said they wouldn't, and there were a number of reasons. They saw the struggles of their female coach. They saw the way that they were treated by other coaches, both in their department and in the profession overall. They saw the time commitment that was associated with it. They wanted to have more of a work-life balance. So the female athletes are saying that they would rather go pursue a career in a different field than continue working in the sport industry.
All right, so let me ask you this. I'm an older guy. So looking back to my playing career in high school, I think I would have much preferred to have a male coach. Would do female athletes much prefer, or is it less important to them, the gender of the coach?
I think that a lot of girls and young women would tell you that they prefer a male coach, that they want a male coach. So there's this idea in a lot of sports, including women's basketball, softball, and women's volleyball, that in order to play at a high level, you need to play for a male coach. So a lot of people believe that women don't have the necessary characteristics to be a successful coach. They're more empathetic. They're not going to demand as much out of their players as a male coach is going to. And oftentimes, female coaches who do succeed at a high level and demand a lot out of their players, they're thought of in a negative light compared to a male coach who might do the same thing.
All right. I don't have any numbers to base this on. It's just observation. Having watched some of the softball regionals here recently, I would say it's about 50-50 coaches for the male coaches and female coaches for those teams. You look at Gino Auriemma, extremely successful at UConn women's basketball, male coach. You look at Anson Dorrance, completely successful as a coach of a women's team. What matters more, that you're learning from someone who, if you're a guy, you're learning from a guy, if you're a female, you're learning from a female, or success on the field or court?
I think that from an athlete standpoint, there are benefits to both. One benefit for female athletes who have a female coach is that they see that they can be successful as a female in the sport industry. So there are a lot of benefits to having male coaches. But one thing that's really important for young women to have is a female mentor so that they can have someone to go to talk about the gender issues in their life. So if they're experiencing any kind of discrimination or harassment or anything that's specific to being a girl or a woman, that they have someone that they can turn to. And if they're continuously seeing the most successful coaches in their sport are men, that's going to lead them to maybe question their abilities to be a successful coach. So I think there are benefits to both, but it's definitely important that young girls and women have a female role model and a mentor that they can look up.
Sports Focus will be back right after this. Welcome back to Sports Focus. We're talking about the relative lack of women in leadership positions in college athletics. And our guest is Lizzie Taylor, University of Tennessee in Knoxville. Lizzie, we talked about some of those key coaches who have had great success, male coaches coaching female players. The other way around is such an anomaly still. Female coaches coaching male players. When you have an assistant coach in the NBA, female assistant coach in the NFL, that is so unusual that it makes national news. Why are we still in that position? If someone has the ability, why would it matter whether that person is a male or a female?
Yeah, this is a really complicated topic because we see so many women's teams coached by men, and it's hard to understand why we wouldn't see it the other way. And the fact that it still makes national news is a little bit, it's very interesting. So there are a number of reasons. So take basketball, for instance. People will say that there's a difference between the game of men's and women's basketball. So the men's game is played above the rim. There's a lot of dunking. They say it's faster paced, whereas they say the women's game is played below the net. So not as many players can dunk. It's a slower game. So they say that females are unable to coach in the men's game because they haven't played in that type of an arena before. And it's the same with football. So people argue that girls or women aren't qualified to coach football because they have never played football. One reason that I think we're seeing it earlier in the professional leagues than we are in college sports is because a huge area of college sport is recruiting. So if you are a woman and you are trying to recruit, you know, 15, 16, 17-year-old boys, they might be less likely to want to play for a woman, again, because they think that they don't have the necessary experience to be a good coach.
All right, you touched on, in the first segment, homophobia coming into play. Help me understand why that would be more of an issue for a female coach and a women's team than it would be for a male coach and a men's team, because there have been several recent examples of very high-profile male athletes coming out saying, I'm gay, and, you know, some of their teammates accept them, some don't. But why is it sort of assumed by some people that the reason women and girls want to get into athletics, at least a few of them, is that they are gay?
Yeah, so think about what the characteristics of a successful athlete are. So they're very masculine. You have to be strong. You have to be aggressive. You have to be powerful. Anytime that a female possesses these characteristics, her sexual orientation is called into question. Whereas if you have a successful male athlete, he's assumed to be heterosexual because he possesses all of these masculine characteristics. So when a male athlete comes out as gay, it's an anomaly. It's something that's unexpected. It's something that we're not really assuming. But when a female comes out as being gay or lesbian, people will say, oh, yeah, duh, she's a really good athlete, therefore she must be a lesbian. So it's something that on both sides, I don't know that we are accepting of it yet, but it's something that I think is more common in the women's game, that coaches and players are coming out as gay or lesbian as opposed to male coaches or players. And sometimes what happens in the women's game, especially at the college level, is that other coaches will use the sexual orientation of a coach or certain players and do what people call negative recruiting. So the coach might say, oh, you don't want to go to school X because their coach, I heard she's a lesbian.
And she's going to hit on you, right?
Yeah, and so she's going to try to turn you into a lesbian. Or, you know, don't go to school Y because a lot of their players are lesbian, and that's not the type of culture that you want to be in. So these coaches that use this negative recruiting are really playing into the parents and saying, you don't want to send your daughter to this team because it's not a family or a healthy environment.
Sports Focus, we'll be right back. Welcome back to Sports Focus and our discussion with Lizzie Taylor about the relative lack of women in leadership positions in college athletics. And it's actually morphed into a little more than that, women in athletics in general, and negative recruiting. Don't go to that school because the coach is a lesbian or a lot of their players are lesbians. Let me give you an analogy, an example. And I don't remember this athlete's name, but she's an MMA fighter, you know, toughest of the tough. Right. And yet she's on Dancing with the Stars and looks very feminine in that part of her life. So why do you think we as a society still see it as one or the other?
I think that we, you know, as a society are unable to separate. So if you participate in sport, if you're a successful athlete, that translates into your entire life. So we haven't been able to successfully separate the different facets of athletes' lives. And a lot of female athletes will do things like Dancing with the Stars or posing in traditionally feminine or heterosexual outfits or with their kids to show that they are heterosexual or straight to avoid being called a lesbian or having speculations of sexual orientation.
All right, so let's go back to the main topic of discussion, and that is women in leadership positions. You talked to, I think, 8 or 10, did in-depth interviews with 8 or 10 female athletics directors. Many of them said they sort of fell into the position. To me, that's code for saying they needed a woman, and I fit the bill.
Yeah, and that's... A lot of the women that I talk to that are currently athletic directors have been working for 10, 15, 20 years in college administration, and they said, when I started, there were no women, so I had no idea that I could be a college coach or I could be a college administrator. So they referred to themselves as accidental tourists or saying things, like you said, like they fell into the position. But we will see things like what happened at Penn State or what happened at Rutgers. And what they'll do is they'll bring in a woman. So we all know what happened at Penn State. They were in search of a new athletic director, and they hired Sandy Barber, who had previously been at Cal. The same thing happened at Rutgers. They had the scandal with their men's basketball coach. They needed to hire a new athletic director, and they brought in Julie Herman. So they were looking for someone who was completely different than who they had had before. So, like you said, they were looking for a woman, and they went out and specifically found one.
So let me, I'm going to use a personal example here. I have students who go into the media industry. Some get hired, at least one of the factors, they get hired because they're a woman or because they're women or because they're men. There's a certain slot that media organization is trying to fill. And, you know, part of you says, I don't want to be hired based on something like that. But my advice is always get hired any way you can get hired and go prove yourself that it doesn't matter whether you're a male, female, you know, whatever. Prove your worth once you get there. Is that how these women who strive to be in athletics administration should think about it?
Absolutely, and that's what, in addition to talking to athletic directors, I've talked to women who we consider early career professionals, 5 years experience or less, and a colleague of mine talked to female GAs who are currently master's students as well, and that was their initial idea, is that they were going to get their foot in the door however they could get their foot in the door, and they knew that they would have to prove themselves, but they were ready for the challenge, and I think that it's more... young women can be open to having to work their tails off and prove themselves and get the experience that they need, that will only benefit them in the future.
All right, so it seems like the gorilla in the room, at least in my mind, is football. All right, there's a female equivalent to baseball, softball. Actually, some females play baseball. You have both a men's and a women's swimming team. You have a men's and a women's tennis team. Lacrosse, et cetera, et cetera. There's almost always an equivalent. Football, there is no equivalent. So is that really kind of, like I said, the gorilla in the room, that women can't administer football or can't coach football because they've never played it? And you sort of alluded to this earlier in the conversation.
Absolutely. If you look at the number of women working anywhere in a football team, it's very small. Besides being the administrative assistant, the number of director of operations who are women, I can count on one hand at the Division I level. If you look at the number of female athletic directors, I believe there are in Division I FBS, so the Football Bowl subdivision, there are, I believe, two or three female athletic directors. And if you look to the FCS, the Football Championship Subdivision, or the Division I No Football, you see a greater percentage of athletic directors as women. So there is this idea that women just aren't qualified because they didn't play football.
And that does it for this edition of Sports Focus. Thanks to our guest, Lizzie Taylor. Thanks also to engineer Dylan Field. And as always, thanks to you for listening. Cheers.
Thanks to Richard Southall, Mark Nagel, and Deborah Southall at the College Sport Research Institute at the University of South Carolina for their research and guidance and for access to CSRI's international network of sources. Sports Focus is a service of UNC School of Media and Journalism.